Mike. That's a great song, isn't it? It's a blessing. Well, it's good to be back at Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church tonight. And people are talking about the crowd being down. Some vacation season started. And about half the church went on a mission trip. So, but I'm glad you're here. And by the way, when I first started here, we had about, 100 Sunday school. And about 40 or 50 on Sunday night, 25 on prayer meetings. So this is a big, this is a huge crowd tonight. But it is, thank the Lord for the privilege of being here. Now, I got a little shocked this morning. I thought I had a message ready to go, and the Lord just impressed it on my heart to preach something else. So, as I've said before, I've got up sermons for 46 years ago. I got 2,000 or 3,000 sermons stuck here and there all around. And I was looking through some of those old sermons the other day, and I came across that sermon I preached all 20, 25 years ago on some hound dogs I have known. Subtitle, "You Ain't Nothing But a Hound Dog." And I've been afraid to preach that. Dr. Sexton, I preached years ago, and he said, "Preach that again sometime." So, but I was just thinking about it. You know, all the dogs that I had, like Screaker, one best fox dog we ever had, and No Trouble. I mean, somebody named him Trouble, and that's why he got rid of him. He's the meanest thing I ever had in my life. And old Bell was a faithful dog. And I had a dog named Judy that's the mouthiest dog I've ever had in my life. But I preached that, and there were about four or five Judys in this church. Judy, I'm not going to preach that, so you're safe. I know, Judy, reading up, I didn't pick that out on Joel a person, but this Judy, the dog, she's the barkingest dog. She'd bark where a rabbit had been by a week ago. So, I better get back to my preaching here. But this is, this is not the message I ought for about 3 or 4 days going to preach, but it's one I believe the Lord wants me to preach, and that's what I want to preach. And the three things I've emphasized, as you know, over the years in my ministry, for Christians, after you get saved, first, you ought to live a separated life. I mean, none of us are perfect, but we ought to try to live right and stay out of the hellhole of the world and just be a separated person. And a carnal Christian cannot know the blessing and the presence of the Lord. And you can't walk with God and walk with the world. And then separate out. Then the second, I've emphasized reading the Word of God daily. And one of the joys of my life was to have about over 100 people in this church commit to reading the Bible through every year. I think it's one of the greatest things you can do, is read the Bible through every year. I read it every day anyway. You need the Word of God. Then a third thing I emphasize is prayer. And that is what I want to preach on tonight. We all need to know how to pray and learn how to pray. Hebrews 4:16 says, "Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace." I'm not going to preach on that. I'm just quoting that to start with. "That we might be able to find grace to help in time of need." When do we learn to pray? In time. I hate this, but if the Lord didn't send you some trouble, me some trouble, we'd never learn to pray. It's when in time of need, we find grace and help when in time of need. And so when our backs are to the wall, we don't know where to turn, and we look up and find there's a God in heaven can help us through those problems. That's when then we learn to pray. And we need to learn many things we need to learn in our churches. We need to learn why the King James Version position. We need to learn that. Be sound in that. We need to learn the great Baptist doctrines, the fundamental doctrines of the faith, and premillennial faith, and pre-tribulation rapture position, and soul winning. But we absolutely need to learn how to pray and to get hold of God. Now we need to do that. And I think, and I believe that's why the Lord, I want to encourage you tonight. I knew that probably this would be, the crowd would be down a little bit, and overwhelming majority would be saved. I believe that's maybe the reason the Lord wanted me to preach on prayer and encouragement to pray. And so turn in your Bibles, please, to this, a simple message. But in our Lord encouraged us in Luke 18:1. Now, I preached this message before at our church. Everything I've got, all those 2,000 or 3,000 I've preached them before, but I want to preach just what the Lord wants. And I preached this 2 or 3 years ago. But I thought, Lord, I hate to preach a message I'd preached a couple or 3 years ago. But if the Lord wants me to preach it once a month, I'd preach if he wanted me to. But Luke 18:1, Jesus said in Luke 18:1, and he, Jesus, spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint. Now let me read that again. And he, Jesus, spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint. Now, that's a great admonition of our Lord, an encouragement for us to pray tonight. And I want to emphasize those words in this admonition of our Lord. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for this privilege of coming here tonight. Thank you for this good group that's here. And thank you for the blessings of the songs, Tell It to Jesus. And then this song, Sheltered in Arms of God, and I Will Praise Him. Lord, what a blessing. And causes us to praise our Lord. And thank you, Lord, that you are worthy of our praise. And thank you that you are a prayer-hearing and a prayer-answering God. Lord, help me tonight. I confess to thee and these people, I can't preach unless you help me. And Lord, would you help me as I do my best to preach, encourage these dear people to learn to pray and pray often as a need comes. Tell it to Jesus and help us tonight. May the Holy Spirit anoint the Word of God to our hearts and get, Lord, may Jesus get the glory out of this service tonight. Bless Brother Jody and all of our members up there in Pennsylvania and this mission crusade this week. Just bless them, I pray. Now, Lord, help us tonight and speak to our hearts and help us to get something from the Word of God and from this in message on prayer that'll encourage us to be people of prayer until the Lord calls us home. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, Luke 18 is one of the great, great chapters of the Word of God. And the Lord Jesus opened this chapter with a clear admonition concerning prayer. This chapter gives us 5 examples to illustrate the teaching that all men ought to pray. We see in verse 3 a praying widow, in verse 10 and 11 a praying Pharisee, in verse 13 a praying, not as a little boy said, a praying Republican, or a praying Democrat, or either one of them. Both Democrats and Republicans, brother, we all need to pray today for our country. I mean, we need Holy Ghost revival. That is our only hope. The hope is not to change the presidency in this next election. I mean, listen, folks, the hope is a Holy Ghost revival. That's the only thing that can turn us around, that I believe. Then in verse 18, a praying ruler we see here, and then verse 38, a praying beggar. All men everywhere and in all circumstances ought to pray. And you need to learn to pray, and you need to keep praying as the needs arise and the burdens come up. And you can't make it in the Christian life. You can't make it in the Lord's work unless you learn to pray. So let's look now at each word in this admonition of Jesus here in verse 1 concerning prayer. First of all, Jesus said, men ought always to pray. Men ought to pray. Now, he's just not talking about the male gender there. He's talking men as a general term. All people, humanity, everyone ought to pray is what Jesus is saying here. Someone has said that man is the only animal who can look up. And man made in the image of the Lord God of heaven should look up and pray to his heavenly Father. In Daniel 4, we see Nebuchadnezzar out in the fields like a wild animal, wet with the dew of heaven falling on him, his nails grown like bird's claws and hair like eagles and eating grass like an ox. He was driven from his throne as a lunatic. But in Daniel 4:34, old Nebuchadnezzar said, I lifted up mine eyes unto heaven. And when he did, he said, mine understanding returned unto me. And he started shouting and praising God. and his throne was returned to him when he looked up to heaven and started praying, lifted up his eyes unto heaven, his understanding and his throne returned to him. So we as members of Adam's fallen race ought to pray. All of us, men, women, boys and girls, everyone ought to pray. Let me just put this verse in right here before I move on to the next point. Psalm 65:2 is one of the great verses. It's been a great encouragement to me down through the years. Psalmist David said, O thou that hearest prayer, unto thee shall all flesh come. I mean, all flesh. And all of us look like pretty like we're living flesh. Some of you have little doubts about you, but it says all flesh. David, two things about this verse, and I'll move on. First of all, the name of God. He said, O thou that hearest prayer. Now, God has many names. He's the Almighty God. He's Jehovah. He's the Almighty, our Heavenly Father, on and on, many names. But David here addressed heaven and addressed God as, O thou that hearest prayer. Aren't you glad that we've got a Father in heaven that's interested in us? And if ye then being evil know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall ye? No, I'm telling you, my wife's about to break me up giving to our grandchildren. But that's okay, I'm behind her any want to. And so if we're good, we know how to be good to our children and grandchildren, how much more is our Heavenly Father will give good things to them that ask him and give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him. So men ought to pray. Then men ought to pray. Let's notice that word there. Men ought to pray. We ought to pray for our friends. We ought to pray for our children. And by the way, let me thank you, the members of the church, a lot of you really prayed for my wife and I when we went through this experience with Tori having to come home to the field. But the Lord answered prayer. And I didn't dream of what the Lord is going to do in answer to prayer. Gave him a job teaching at Crown College. I wouldn't have ever recommended him down there. But the president called up, as I've told you this before. He had a great year, I said the other day, after Tori finished the year. I said, Tori, you finished the year. What's your thinking about the year that you just had? He said, Daddy, I love it. I love it. So the Lord, thank you, all of you prayed for my wife and I and Tori in this time. And God, let me stop and shout for about 5 minutes right there. I mean, the Lord, you know the Lord can do more than we can ask or think, can't he? I remember right here I told you. My son coming home from the field. It broke my heart. And I just, finally, the Bible says, in everything give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. I looked up to heaven and said, thank you, Lord, for he's coming home from the field. So it broke my heart. But in 2 weeks, Dr. Sexton called and said, bring your boy down. He said, I need a mission teacher, and he hired him. So the Lord's able to help us. And that's why we ought to learn to pray. Because listen, the bottom's going to fall out before you know it. You're going to need to learn to pray. Men ought always to pray for our children, pray for our mate, pray for our church, pray for your pastor, pray for our country. I'm glad the Lord, my mom and dad only had 6th and 7th grade education. But I'm glad they believed in the old time religion. Both of them tried to live right, and both of them believed in praying. I've told you many, many times, most of the stuff I'll tell you in this sermon you've heard many, many times, but the Lord wanted to give you this tonight. I want to encourage you to pray. That's my burden, my heart for you. I want to encourage you to pray. Folks, you can make it if you'll just pray. If you'll just pray. Just call on the Lord. Say, Lord, I can't make it unless you help me. I can't make it unless you help me. Lord, you've got to help me. Keep crying out to God. And our God will help you some way. He'll see you through the problem or around it, over it. And he'll somehow the Lord will help you if you'll pray. If you're his child. I've got off of my what I was going to say here. But anyway, it's what the Lord wanted me to say. But my mother, I was going to say about her. I've told you this before. One time my mother said, when I was about 10 years old, somewhere 9, 10, 11, somewhere along there. I can remember it. I don't remember how old. But I was a small boy. And my mother set three cane bottom chairs down and one right here. My sister Barbara was 2 years younger than I am. She sat there, and my brother Don, 4.5 years, he sat over here. And my mama said, "Children, mama's going to go to Erlanger Hospital and have gallbladder surgery." And that used to be, I mean, anytime I have anything done, pull a tooth, it's serious on me. But that used to be very serious, gallbladder. I mean, a lot of them didn't make it. But she said, "Children," and she read the Bible to us, and then she said, "I'm going to have serious surgery." And my mama said, "If I don't make it back, I want to see you in heaven." And mama prayed, and I never forget today. That day, that afternoon, they came and got her in a car and took her to the Erlanger Hospital in Chattanooga. And us three little children, we wept. We didn't know whether mama would come back or not. But the Lord brought her back. And I'm glad that I had a mama that believed in prayer. And if the Lord did take her, he wanted to see your children. She didn't say, "Hope you get a good education. Hope you make a lot of money in life." My mama said, "I want to see you in heaven." Mamas and daddies, that's what you ought to want for your children, to see them in heaven when life shall be no more. It's the greatest thing in the world. Then my daddy, I'm not just bragging on my mom and daddy, but I thank God for them. Thank God for them. I wouldn't be standing here tonight if I didn't have that kind of parent, those kind of parents. My daddy, he'd come home from the mines, and then later, and he had the mines closed down. He got worked in Chattanooga, but mom would have supper, had a big pan of cornbread, brown cornbread, fried potatoes. You know the gospel, don't you, Leroy? And a big pot of pinto beans, a big chunk of fat meat in there, or lean meat. Now, honey, don't have a heart attack now. I mean, you can't be putting a big piece of lean meat and pinto beans. Well, I better get on to my message here. What time? I forgot that you got a watch up here, clock up here for me. They put one there when I left. I never did. All I had was this when I preached here. But anyway, my daddy, after supper, my daddy'd go over and sit on the front porch. And now this is west this way, and I'm up here. Isn't that west? Yeah, that's west. And my daddy would put a rocking chair there, and he'd get his old Bible, and he'd read. And then my daddy'd sing, "Jesus, Savior, pilot me, look up to the heavens, o'er life's tempestuous sea." And then my daddy'd pray up there. And I'm glad that my daddy and mom are in heaven, but I saw my mom and daddy praying. And parents, your children need to see mom and daddy pray. So, and when they go through some rough times in life, they'll look back and remember that their mama and daddy prayed and God saw them through. So it is not only our privilege for us to approach the great God of the universe in prayer, but Jesus said we ought to do it. We ought to pray. We ought to pray. It's our responsibility to do it. We're not forced to do it. The Lord gives us freedom. We can choose to pray or we can choose not to pray. But still, Jesus said right here in his admonition, we ought to pray. Then men ought always to pray. Always. Well, folks, we ought to pray about everything. There's nothing too small that you shouldn't pray about. I've told you many times, and I'm going to tell you right here, because when I was years ago, there's a couple in our church that moved to Kingsport, and I went by to visit them. They didn't leave mad. They just moved to Kingsport and right by a good fundamental church up there, and I went by to see them. And as I said, I've told you this before, but everything I've said, I've told you before. But anyway, as I started to leave, she said, "Preacher Lansley, we've been married 10 years, and we want a child. We can't have a child. Would you pray that the Lord would give us a baby?" And that sort of shocked me. I don't believe I'd before that anybody had asked me to pray that have a baby. But I knew, believe God could do it. So I got down on my knees before I left, and I said, "Lord, you've opened the wombs of the handmaidens of the Lord down through the years and given them a child they could raise for the glory of God. And I ask you to give this fine couple, open her womb and give them a child they can raise for the glory of God." Well, end of 9 or 10 months, something like that, one of the secretaries got a phone call, and she said, "Tell Preacher Lashley I'm in the OB ward in Kingsport." I went up there, and she said, "The Lord heard and answered our prayers." And then, to make a long story short, about 12 years, I was in the Indian Path Hospital running into her, and she was up there, but her dad was in the Indian Path Hospital. And she said, "Remember praying for that baby the Lord gave us?" I said, "Yes." She said, "He got saved and baptized last Sunday night." And then I didn't see them much, another time or two, and then the mother died right before I retired. And when I went to put in the paper about me retiring, the daddy came with that boy. Then he had graduated from college, East Tennessee State University, and he sat right over in there, had a suit on, and this boy we prayed for was a Christian businessman in Johnson City. So folks, we need to pray about everything. As God says in Colossians, Philippians 4:6, "Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God." Colossians 4:2, "Continue in prayer and watching the same with thanksgiving." 1 Thessalonians 5:17, "Pray without ceasing." How you do that? Just stay in an attitude of prayer, so that if you need to pray, you can pray. There's nothing so little or insignificant in our lives but that God is concerned about it. As the song says, "Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear. All because we do not carry everything to God in prayer." So you have a burden tonight, a need, take it to God, folks. Don't bear it any longer. Take it to God in prayer and cast that burden on the Lord. Then a fourth thing. In this admonition to pray, men ought always to pray. Now, literally in the Greek, I have Greek 50 years ago. I've forgotten everything I know about it. But I'm told, I had 19 hours of Greek. I wouldn't know which end the Greek New Testament was today, probably. But anyway, I'm told in the Greek that the word pray means to wish for or beg or desire something from God. And men ought always to pray, to desire and ask for and wish for and beg things from God. Now, my wife, when I went up to Illinois, when I got out of college, went in Youth of Christ work up there, and I wasn't there very long. Now, honey, I'm not going to say you proposed to me, so you can forget that. But I met my wife up there, and we got engaged, and she was teaching in University of Illinois, going to school, graduate school there. I tried to get her to get married at Christmas time, but she wanted to keep on for the rest of the year. But I would go down to see her. We were engaged. I'd get in my little old red Anglia, and that little Anglia wasn't much bigger than that pulpit here. Anybody remember those old red, those English Fords, Anglias? You had a few of them. You didn't have much of a car, I'll tell you that. One Nazarene preacher told me, he said, "Brother Gene, if you love your wife now, you'll get rid of that car when you marry her." Well, I went down in that little red Anglia down to University of Illinois. And it wasn't a burden for me to go down and see my wife-to-be because I loved her. I've told you before, Dr. Lakin one time, he was here preaching. He said, "Most preachers are ruined the day they get married." He looked over, I was sitting right over there, I think it was. He said, "Son, it made you." So that's about right. But if we love, it was no burden for me to go down to University of Illinois and see my wife. She wasn't my wife, then my fiance, because I loved her and we were going to get married. And listen, if we love the Lord, prayer is not a burden. It is a great joy and delight. It's a thrill to be able to meet the Lord in the secret place of prayer. If you're neglecting a prayer life, you're neglecting one of the greatest thrills in this world, is to get alone with the Lord every now and then and feel His wonderful presence. The songwriter calls it sweet hour of prayer. In Matthew 6:6, this has always been a great challenge to me. Jesus said, "But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut the door. In other words, get away from people. Get along with God. I'm thankful. I own that, as you know, I own that piece of property, right? The deacons gave me a title deed to that room right there. That's my prayer closet. And it's good every morning to get up here. I don't even believe the mice in the church are up when I get up here. But it's early in the morning. But it's good to get along with God in that room right there. And I like to get out in the woods and get alone with God. I mean, no phones ringing, nobody knocking on your door. You can do business with God. If you get alone with a book, open that book and start reading it. And every now and then, you say, preacher, every time you come up here in the morning, did you feel the presence? No, I said, backslid sometimes. I couldn't feel God's presence. But every now and then, over the years, every now and then, every now and then, every now and then, when I'd come up here, I'd get alone in that room there somewhere else, start reading the Word of God, and before I knew it, I could feel the wonderful presence of the Lord. And you, listen, if you're born again, you have the Holy Spirit within, see? If you're getting this Word, the Holy Spirit is the author of that book. And if you, with the Holy Spirit within, and you get in that Word, I mean the pages will come alive. That's why you need to get in the Word of God every day. So Jesus said, but thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut the door, pray to thy Father which is in secret. And then, notice, if you get alone with God and pour your heart out to God, pour your soul out to God, pray to thy Father which is in secret. And Jesus, and he pretty well knows the Father, doesn't he? And here's what Jesus said the Father will do. And thy Father, which seeth in secret, shall reward thee what? Openly. Openly. A chorus that we used to sing, I hadn't heard in a long time. Shut in with God in the secret place. Shut in with God, beholding his face. Oh, I want to be shut in with God. Hallelujah. Then one other thing. Men ought always to pray and then not to faint. Not to faint. This means don't give up. Don't grow weary. Some of these characters, these Pentecostal preachers especially, say just name it and claim it. Now, that's not biblical teaching. The Word of God says, Jesus said, men ought always to pray and not to faint. That means don't give up, don't grow weary, just keep on praying till the answer comes. Jesus said in Luke 11:9, ask and it shall be given unto you. Seek and ye shall find, knock and it shall be opened unto you. Now these verbs are present tense and continuous action. What Jesus is saying, ask and just keep on asking. And seek and just keep on seeking. Knock and just keep on knocking. And Jesus said, you can get your prayers answered. I believe this is the reason the Lord wanted me to preach this, not the other. I wanted to preach the other message, but this is what, and I'm glad now the Lord let me, because this is a challenge to me too. And you can get your prayer, if you're saved and you'll pray, you can get your prayers answered. Is Connie's back there? Yeah, she was there when this happened that night. Remember when David was up there in the hospital, Connie? I think you and Can you hear me? Wave at me. Okay. But I'd visited him a few times, John City Hospital. That's Elmer and Kathy's son. And he got worse, progressively worse, and then they diagnosed it as Legionnaire's disease, and someone said he's in bad shape and might not make it. And I was going to visit him the next day, but then I thought, well, no, I better go tonight if he's in that. And I went up there, and let's see, Connie was there, Peggy was there, I think, and then Elmer and Kathy were in the waiting room. And I was there when I came in. Then a female doctor came in and said, he's not going to make it through the night unless we do something drastic. She said, his system is not resting. He's not resting, and he's just not going to make it. She said, we're going to have to paralyze him. I'm going back right now. And we think this is the last thing. He's not going to make it if we don't. And so she said, we're going to paralyze him. And so she turned around and left. And Connie was back there. And Connie was there, and I said, well, let's pray. And all of us started praying that God would move upon this boy David. And we prayed, and then I left and got out of the building. But before I had a chance to get away I didn't know it till the next day, but I was still on the grounds. The doctor came back and said, when I went back there, Connie, he was doing better, wasn't he? He was doing. So God heard and answered our prayer. And David went home. So just keep on praying. Just my message to you tonight, just keep on praying, folks, till light breaks through. The Lord will answer you. God keeps his promise. His word is true. Just keep on praying till light breaks through. Let's bow our heads for prayer tonight. Every head bowed, that's the message, the simple message. But I want to encourage you tonight to bring your needs to the Lord. Whatever your need is. Just the heads bowed and eyes closed. Just place softly, all to Jesus I surrender. All to him I freely give. Now there's a lot of great needs here tonight. And why don't you just come to this altar right now? This is just there's a need, a great burden you have. Maybe there's the financial need or health need or someone you've been praying for. Just come and get in this altar and let's pray. Close this in prayer here tonight. Maybe there's a decision you need to make. You don't want to come pray about it. Maybe there's a burden that's breaking your heart. Why don't you come talk to the Lord about it? Psalm 55:22, cast thy burden upon the Lord, and he shall sustain thee. If you'll cast that burden on the Lord, he'll sustain you. He'll never suffer the righteous to be moved. Hallelujah. Thank God. He does hear and answer prayer. He does. If you'll pray, God can help you with the problems and needs and burdens that come to us down life's path. Let's just sing softly as we pray, all to Jesus I surrender, all to him I freely give.
All to Jesus I surrender, all to him I freely give. I will ever love and trust him, in his presence daily live. I surrender all. I surrender all. All to thee, my blessed Savior.
Keep praying. Keep playing, if you will. Maybe there's somebody here tonight, you say, Preacher Lashley, I'm not even saved. I'm not right with God tonight. God's spoken to my heart. If I die right now, I wouldn't make it to heaven. I'd go to hell right now. I'm not sure I'm saved. If that's your situation and God's speaking to your heart, let me pray for you right now. Just slip your hand up. Let me pray for you. Is anyone like that? Now, God's speaking to your heart tonight. Just sing one more verse, Brother Gary.
All to Jesus I surrender, Lord, I give myself to thee. Fill me with thy love and power, let thy blessing.
Everyone lift it up now. I surrender all. I surrender. All to thee,
my blessed Savior,
I surrender all. Well, thank you for letting me come back and preach to you tonight. And I'll preach that hound dog sermon again sometime. Maybe I can preach it at the beast feast over there. When you run out of people to preach down there and you get hard up for a preacher, I might come down and preach. You ain't nothing but a hound dog in your But God bless you. Thank you very much, Brother Gary.
Thank you, preacher. Often as preachers, we preach things we don't practice. You heard a message from someone who practiced what he preached. And as he's practiced it for years and years and years, that's why we have Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church today. And the reason God is blessed. So I thank you for that challenge. We all needed it. Be praying for our teens as they are there in Pennsylvania. For the Garce family. For Brother Nick. Nick Rim is having a surgery, having a biopsy on his throat Wednesday. And it's right on top of an artery, I believe, kind of dangerous. Teresa, pray for Teresa Susong. And had her thyroid removed and it's grown back. And they're concerned about that. So folks in our church with some needs right now, let me encourage you to practice what you heard tonight and be people of prayer. Lord, we thank you for how our hearts have been challenged tonight. This is a thing we need to be reminded of constantly. And Lord, help us to be people of prayer. Do think of Nick. He said we're having this biopsy on Wednesday. We pray that you'd give the doctors wisdom that it would go smoothly. For Teresa, she's waiting now to hear from these group of doctors here in a couple of weeks to make decisions about what they need to do. For Pam, as she is continuing chemo, and Rachel with radiation, Lord, other folks in our church that are going through great trials, and family members who have strayed from you, and marriages on the brink of destruction. Lord, there are some great needs in our church, and we're praying and asking you to work in these hearts and lives. Be with the Garce family, encourage them and comfort them. Be with our teen mission trip folks, that you'd just anoint their time there and help them be a great blessing to this new church. And the Lord, this week, help us to pray. Help us to be people of prayer, I ask, in Jesus' name. Amen. You are dismissed.